Psalm 96, 1 through 6. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Lord, I pray that as we come here to worship you, I pray that the things we do and the things we say will be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you'll give us attentive ears, open our minds to hear your words, and work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn to Romans chapter 7 and put a bookmark there, because we're going to be going back throughout the entire message. This is one of those texts that was very hard for me, and I struggled with it. And sometimes texts like those are, they turn out to be really powerful to those who are listening and attentive. And so I pray that that's true. I split the text into two sections. I usually don't preach on six whole verses because that's a lot. But I'm preaching on six verses today. So we're going to start by reading all six verses, and then so you kind of get the general idea of what's going on. Verses 1 through 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, and that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, and that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. One of my commentary writers, and I was actually shocked to read this, but one of my commentary writers said that every preacher ought to skip over chapter 7. All scripture is there so that we can be encouraged to live for Jesus. And some scripture points us to our sin, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us of our sin. And so this writer finally came to his senses after he was preaching for years and years and years, and he said, the only way to get to chapter 8 is to go right through chapter 7. Makes sense. And so he had a lot of good things to say about this this chapter, and which I'm very grateful for, because I really struggled with this chapter, at least the first six verses. I have a short little story from my Chuck Swindoll book of illustrations, but I need to explain something first. I chose this story over several more because my daughter Christina always has yarn with her. Most of you have seen her with yarn, wherever she is. And many times she's using yarn and crocheting in church of all places. Yeah, how disgusting is that? So she brings her bag everywhere. Listen to the story. In a church, a woman was knitting, waiting for the service to start. She had been there 45 minutes. Some other dear woman said, "Oh, honey, we don't do that in the house of God." And he goes on, he says, "Well, what in the world do you do for an hour when you're waiting for church service to start?" And he goes on, another was getting ready for a college test, and someone came and said, "You know, here we only read the Bible." So some of you might be thinking, well, what's he going to talk about yarn for or reading in church other than the Bible? We're not really talking about that. That's just a prelude. What a introduction, huh? Well, we're really talking today about the law and what Paul talks that we are actually dead to the law. But we're bound to grace. We're free from the law. The reason we're free is because Jesus paid the price. And he set up a new covenant of grace for us. In every church, however, listen very carefully, in every church, there are some believers who abuse grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense. Unmerited favor, something that we get that we don't deserve. But there's some people that abuse that and live a loose life and live however they want because, after all, I'm saved, right? But there are also others in the body of Christ who hold on to legalism. And they have their little pet rules that they abide by that are not right to do in the church or even for a believer. So today I've kind of split up this text into two sections. And we're going to talk about one of those little pet rules at the beginning, and then we'll go on from there. So we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. "Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives." In other words, he has to be living in order for the law to be active. That makes sense, right? "For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man." Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this text, and I pray that you'll open our ears and our hearts today. Mostly, I want to thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ, that we're not bound to the law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, keep your finger in Romans 7. We're going to start with verse 1. "Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives." Now, it's the third time we've read that verse. The law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. I would like to remind us in everything that we say in a message that we need to know and understand what happens before. We can't just say a text or read a verse and expect to know where he's been. So let's talk a little bit about chapter 6. We need a fuller picture of what's been happening. Paul's been talking a lot about dying to sin, and sin brings what? Death. And or slaves to righteousness, which brings what? Life. Sin brings death. Righteousness brings life. Now remember, we talked about being a slave several weeks ago. And if you are a slave to something, you are in obedience to that thing. So if you are a slave to sin, you are in obedience to sin. If you are a slave to righteousness, you are in obedience to righteousness. Does that make sense? So as we enter chapter 7 today, Paul wants to let his readers know. Paul wants to let his readers know that those who are reading in Romans, that they already know the law. They know the law already. And so it seems to be obvious here, but he's stating an obvious fact for a reason. He says that in order for someone to be judged by the law, they need to be what? Living. Does that make sense? I heard a story about someone who was suspected of murder. And it took the authorities some time to find this person, but when they found him, the person was dead. Well, they dropped the case immediately because there's nothing they can do. They can't try a dead person for murder. Unsolved mysteries or cold case or even CSI might be able to solve a mystery, but the fact is you can't try someone if they're not living anymore. So Paul is saying that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. We need to understand that before we go any farther. In the first four verses in Romans 6 talk about us dying to sin. We're dead to sin. We will not live in sin any longer. That's the first four verses in chapter 6. Because we live in righteousness. The law says that if you sin, you must die. But Paul is saying here that we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin. And we cannot be judged if we're not living. Right? So we are justified. We are living just as if we had never sinned if we are living according to righteousness. We live in newness of life. Let's look at the next two verses. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. This sounds an awful like Paul is talking about marriage and divorce. And it's really not. It's only a description of verse 1, of dying to the law. Look at how it starts here in the text. It says, for a married woman, and the NIV says, for an example, the married woman. So it's an example of what verse 1 is talking about. If her husband passes away, she is no longer bound to the law. And we understand that. That makes sense to us. So as we are no longer bound to sin and the penalty of sin because we are not living in sin anymore, right? We are living in righteousness. The next three verses. Therefore, my brethren, listen to this. This kind of ties it all together. You also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. Whose body? Because he died. We are bound to him. So that we might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Because we don't want to be joined to somebody that's dead. We want to be raised with somebody that's what? Living. This describes the death of Jesus, but we need to understand that he's not dead anymore. He's raised from the dead. Verse 5, for while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit of death. But now we have been released from the law, have died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Have you ever met someone that that was not a believer? And you thought to yourself, boy, if that person could be a believer, they would make a big difference for the kingdom of God. Have you ever met somebody like that? Oh, yeah, I have. Did you know that as a believer that God expects us to bear fruit? So all of us ought to be bearing fruit. And this talks about two different kinds of fruit. It talks about bearing fruit of God, and it talks about bearing fruit of Satan or death. Verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that you might bear fruit of God. You know, the whole Bible talks about Christ being the groom, the bridegroom of what? The church. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you are the church. This building is not the church. You are a church. You are the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. And we are to bear fruit. We are dead to the law. Jesus came to abolish the law and to set up a new covenant with us, the covenant of blood. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 33 says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart. I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen to what Luke says in chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in how? In remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood, the covenant of forgiveness. And verse 4 says again, in order that we might bear fruit. In order that we might bear fruit. We are to die to our old self, sinful self, and live in righteousness, the new covenant. And I got to share with you Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Was that gift free? It is to us, but it comes at a great cost. What cost? Jesus' death, and he gave up everything. The Son of God came at a great cost, but it's free to us. Not as a result of works, our works, so that we can boast. Every time I read that, I get this picture in my head of me standing before God, and God asks me, why should I let you into my heaven? And I'm about this tall, and God is enormous, right? This is the picture I get in my head, and I'm just simply saying,
well, look at everything I did for you, Lord.
God says, you didn't do anything for me. I did it all for you. I died for you. And then it says, so that no one can boast. And listen to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to bear fruit, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Verses 5 and 6. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Remember what we talked about being a servant? If you are a servant to sin, you're going to die. You're going to be a servant of something that's not healthy. You're going to obey sin. But if you are a servant of righteousness, you are going to live. You're going to serve righteousness. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. We are now dead to sin, but alive in righteousness. Amen. John 10:10. The thief comes only to kill, and to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they might have life. They might have life abundantly. I hope that you can say that, that you know Jesus and that you can live an eternal life and have that that fruit that we are to bear right now. Amen.